apostolic, Jamie, and it's a shift into the realms of kingdom. The word of the Lord for this house was to shift into the kingdom, that we're not part of the church anymore, but we're the ecclesia. And in the ecclesia is where we start ruling and reigning as priests and kings. We are royal priests and kings in a kingdom. And that song, just there's a shift. And I've been listening to Chuck Pierce, and he says this day and hour is not only that we pray and we release God in the earth, but we also pull it down. We pull it out of heaven. So when we were singing that song today, you know, we're pulling down his kingdom. We're pulling down his will, not my will, but his will. What is God's heart for today? What is God's heart for this region? What is God's heart for this church? We're pulling it down. It's not my will anymore. We have to come to that place where it's not my will. It's his will. It's his kingdom. You know, it's the Lord's prayer. Not my will. And you know, we have to come to that place even in our own personal life. It's not my will, God, but it's your will to be done on earth. What does God want to do on the earth today? He wants to come down in his glory. And this song, Jamie, is an apostolic song. It's an apostolic move. We get out of ourselves, we get out of our church mindset, and we start thinking kingdom in this region, and we start pulling it down. You know, God, your kingdom come into me, not my will. God, your kingdom come into my home, not my will, but your kingdom, your presence, your glory come into my home. And this is what God's doing. He's doing it. And that's when the release of the glory of God comes into our lives. And that's when the presence of God comes into our homes. And that's where we find peace. And that's where we find healing and miracles. It's in the realms of the kingdom being pulled down into our hearts. So when we pray his kingdom, not my will. God's will is that none of us are sick. That's God's will. Jesus isn't up in heaven sick. So if Christ lives in me, then there's that glory that comes, and there's healing and health, and we pull it down. And it's a realms of faith that we've never been at before. This is apostolic. If you've never understood apostolic, start studying it. Start listening to the ones that are, because we are in an apostolic move. And we can't get stuck where we've been before. This is a new move. It's a new era in God. And God is just saying, I want my glory to fall. I want my miracles to fall. I want my healings to fall. He wants the full reward of what Jesus paid on the cross. A full reward. And I believe, Jamie, that song was powerful. It was apostolic. Woman of God, sing. That's apostolic. That is woman arising in an apostolic calling, Jamie. Don't take it lightly when God speaks to your heart. That's apostolic. That is a whole new air you entered into. I just encourage you in Jesus' name to rise up, woman of God. You have a voice in this next move. Amen.
Wow. You know, it was a couple weeks ago we had an elders meeting, and Miss Sandy was sharing about priorities and just prayer. When we talk about heaven, coming down, I wonder how many times we forget just to pray. And she was talking about priorities, that we just need to set our eyes and begin to pray. And when we begin to pray, we put heaven first. I don't know how many times I get distracted or get caught up in what I'm doing, but I forget to pray, Deb. I know that. Does that happen to you, Deb? With all the noise that's going on, the basic foundations of heaven coming down is us, when Jesus said, "Look, lift your head up." Because all the noise, he knew that with all the noise and everything going on, that our heads might come down. And we'd be caught up in whatever is going on. So as Jamie was just prophesying there, we got, for you parents in here, your kids' assignments, we put prayer on there. And the scripture that one of the scriptures we put on was Philippians. It says, don't worry, instead pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. The peace will guard your hearts and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. So every day the kids would pray a prayer and they would get a sticker Sunday through Monday and we'd place it down on there. I was just thinking as we're getting to the worship and everything, how profound that really is. What a statement that really is, to seek the Lord first in prayer. And it's worked before in my life, Wade. I've done it many times. I've sat and I've prayed and I've invested, Kate. And I remember, you know, what happens. We were talking one time, and I'm not going to share it, but you were talking, you said, sometimes it's hard to hear God, right? And we were sharing that. And there's an intentional spot there where God wants you to dig deeper for him. You know? I got a five-minute prayer, or five-minute, and that's all I got, God, is I just got 5 minutes. Well, this morning we got worship, and worship needs to be done at 11:30. But as we're entering into worship, we're giving the Lord what we're feeling, what we're saying, Lord Jesus, come. It's more important that you come in the midst of us right now, and we hear your voice, that the Spirit of God rules and reigns first, that we get on a schedule or something and we miss what the Lord's trying to do. It's an important lesson because it's the peace of God. It's the peace of God that passes understanding. And it was Dave Wagner's word, and we have copies of those words back there by the baskets. And I want to share a little bit about just the beginning of his word that he was sharing. He says, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, look up and lock your eyes with me. I want to give you heaven's perspective as you enter into this new year. Okay? So as Mary was just talking about, an apostolic thought, sometimes we need a little bit of help of seeing what that is. William, could you come up here for a second? And then could I have, is it Tucker? Which one? This is Tucker. Which one's smaller? Tucker? Do you mind coming up here, or is that too much? Caden? Caden, would you come up here, buddy? Yeah, are, huh? Caden's a tall dude. Caden's getting up there. Yeah, stand. Right. So, apostolic heaven. Paul prayed a prayer in Ephesians 1. You can look that up. He says, I want to pray that the eyes, now in the word, Dave says, lift your eyes to heaven and get heaven's perspective. So in Ephesians, Paul is saying that your eyes of your heart, say my heart, I get so excited I start speaking so fast, may be enlightened in order that you may know, say no, the hope to which he has called you. There's so much here. The riches of his glorious inheritance. That means it's something for you that's yours in his holy people, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. Why is it so important to get heaven's perspective? So William is going to be heaven and heaven's perspective. To see heaven's perspective, you're wonderful. And we can be distractions. You're going to be a little bit of distraction. But if I was to tell you right now that these two are going to get in a grudge match, right? Would there be any question who the winner would be? Oh yeah. Right? Right? If we went, most of us would say William, maybe. But in comparison, it's hard to compare to what heaven is. In comparison, how big is heaven compared to anything on earth? Right? As big as this house? So picture Willie as tall as this building. Is that a fair comparison to what heaven is like? Is it bigger? Bigger. How about the building? It's bigger. It is something that we couldn't even wrap our hands around. So to grab that kind of perspective and to grab that, you would know. If Willie was as tall as the ceiling and Caden was this high, you would know. you would know who was going to win that fight. Right? You would know. Even before they fought, you would know. Right? You would know. That's heaven. How valuable is that to know? When Jack steps on the court, that he knows. He looks, Jack's 6 foot, almost my height, 6 foot three. And you come on the court, and the dude's 5 foot three. You know you're going to post up. You know you're going to own that game, don't you? Why are you smiling? You think that's funny? It is funny. It's the joy of the Lord. Heaven's perspective brings the joy of the Lord, because you know when you get on that court, when you get heaven's perspective, thank you guys. Awesome. Let's give him a hand. Woo. William is a wonderful heaven. Thank you. You know. You know. So how valuable is it to get heaven's perspective? Did you get heaven's perspective this morning? Come on, when Mary was up here and Jamie was prophesying on the keyboard, and when she began to share the Lord's Prayer, guess what we have for the assignment today? And we didn't talk to Jamie. Guess what the assignment today for the kids is? The Lord's Prayer. Wow. Guess what song Jamie said? I didn't even talk to Jamie. Jamie said, the Lord's Prayer. What is God doing? The Holy Spirit knows where he wants to take us. And Dave was sharing that word, he said, get my perspective. Why is it so important? Because you know who owns the situation. You know when heaven comes in and invades earth, that one thing's going to move, and it's not going to be heaven. Heaven's going to come and dominate. But you need to know. Do you know that? It's easy because your eyes, and he said, fix your eyes, as he said, look up and lock your eyes with mine. I want to give you heaven's perspective as you enter this new year. Don't let the distractions of the world and the spirit of this age taint your vision. The only way that Jack's not going to own it that way, the only way that Kate's not going to own that day is if she gets distracted by the things of this world, anything. What distracts me? Good things distract me. Good things can be a distraction. Be busy. How many here are busy? Those things can be a distraction. This morning, as you were looking at your watches, as worship got a little bit long, as your coffee was running low in your cup, you know, I get it. Because, you know, you think about these things. And the distraction. In the meantime, God is saying, I want you to get my perspective in this time and in this hour, in this season, because you need to know something about me and you right now. You need to see me for who I really am in this situation. You got to see me as the tallest building, because that's the truth. And in our hearts, we know that. But when we look at it, we don't see that here now. And he's wanting you to see that perspective in the place that you're at right now. As Jamie said, oh, man, the worship, what was that saying? The worship means the most. Come on. That area where you feel the weakest, in that area where you feel like, maybe it's a cover, or something's happened in this area. The Lord is wanting to you empower you by the Spirit of God, as Paul prayed, that what is his riches and his glory and inheritance, and incomparably, that means you can't put your head around it, great power to us who believe. The great power towards us who believe. Come on. I said, the distractions. I watch the news and all I see is distractions. I don't even see news. And we get caught up in hours in the distractions and we can laugh, but he says, you cannot be distracted. The only way that you lose this battle is if you're distracted and you don't have my perspective. You're going to be down there. You're going to be posting up. There is no chance the devil could win. He's already a defeated person. He's already defeated, and the plans that God has is set out is to finish his complete work on earth. So the only way we miss it is by being distracted. So when Mary begins to talk about apostolic stuff, I say, you know, I don't really grab a hold of that. There's something there that we need to grab a hold of. There is a digging in to God's word. There is a digging and seeking the Lord to say, you know what, I need to get your perspective as in, on earth as it is in heaven in this situation in my life, and there is an urgency in the Spirit says, now's the time you need to get this. There is a foundation of you knowing who you are in me in all things that you need to know before we can move on here. In this season of time, you need to go out. Before you get on that court, you need to know who you are. You need to know your game plan. You need to know how big your God is. And trust me. So how does that work? Or what does that look like? You know, I believe there's a process which God begins to show his stuff to us. He says, keep your eyes on the prize and stay in the place of peace. There is an immediate recognition that you need to have in our hearts when you lose your peace. Has anybody lost their peace this week? I'm working for this guy, man, and I'm telling you, the job is like crazy. He changes stuff up every day, and I got to redo things every day. No, it's not that bad. Where's your peace, God? Help me with Danny. No, it's not that bad. But it's something that I can always walk in. And that's what we're teaching the kids back there. There's something that I can always walk in. Where's your peace? Where's your peace? Where does it go? It happens really, really fast. Lindell Ballinger gave a prophetic word that I'll never forget. It was over this church, and he said, don't forget about your intercessors. He said, we're so busy doing things, and it's good. They do missions. They do all things, but we do not have the covering. We forgot about the covering of prayer. What was that all about? That was constantly making sure that heaven's perspective and heaven's voice is constantly checking with us. Every step we make, every step that we go, it's constantly coming down and up. If you forget that, he says, it's so easy to miss. Think about how easy it is to miss. And then you go through the day and you go, man, what happened? What's going on? But where did the peace go? So he says, you know what? He's preparing us because God prophesies. Before he does something, he prophesies, and he wants to prepare us beforehand, before things happen. So is it important to get the prophetic word? Is it important to hear what God is saying for the day we live in? Absolutely. Why? Because you have a giant on your side, and he's telling you what's happening, and he wants you to rest assured that he's a God who knows what's going on, and you can trust him. And that's where we are. I really feel that. I feel every situation God is asking, he says, do you trust me? Do you know what the power that's on your side? Do you know the hope of the call which I have given you? Do you know? Do you know what I have given? Do you know what Jesus did? Do you know when you're born again, what really happened? Do you know? Do you know you don't have to walk every day just stressing out and being on the edge, because that's not you? Do you know that? Because the kings of the kingdom don't operate when those things are predominant in your life. They don't respond to my worry. They don't respond to my fear. The kingdom of God doesn't respond to that, because there's none of that in the kingdom of God. There is no relation to that. Those things are dead in God. They don't pertain to you anymore, because that's not who you are. So it doesn't work. But those things seem familiar, and the Lord says, that's not you. So lift your eyes up to heaven and look to me, because right now I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to take you on a journey, and it's a journey of discovery about everything that you really are. That what I've created you, your inheritance. How do I reveal to you your inheritance? How do I reveal to you your ability? What happens that I can see who I really am in Christ? How do I know that when I get on the court, I dominate? I played a little ball. Right, Dave? No, I said I played a little ball. No, we don't. Come on. I'm talking to David. When I got on that court, what happened, David? No, David. David? David and only David, please. No. I like to think I dominated, but I'm starting to feel like that was a bad example. We need something else. Quickly. Dominate. Dominic. He says that in Revelation 3, if you want to go there, but here's what I believe that God is doing. I don't think we're arrogant, but I think he wants to be revealing. I think he wants to say, you know what? That's not you. That response in that situation doesn't reflect heaven. Therefore, heaven is not moving on that situation. I want you to know that this is really who you are. See, we don't have to manage our behavior. We have to know who we are in Christ, and our behavior will automatically match that. You see yourself like this, but really you're up here like this. God has made you powerful, and He's made you dominant. And it's sometimes we think, well, it's a pride, or it's not arrogance. It's just reality that it's tough to denigrate Jesus Christ or who you are when you have the Creator of the universe, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, is actually living inside of you. Is that Scripture? That is Scripture. So how do you put yourself down as I'm a weak, old sinner? And all that? That's not who you really are. But when you believe that, it makes things happen like you are. So the Lord says, no, that's not you. So He puts you in situations, like He said. In Revelation 3, he says, okay, you say that you're rich, and you see yourself as this because of the things of the world. But you do not realize what you really are. He says, I counsel you, it goes in verse 17, He's counseling us to buy gold from me refined in the fire so that you can become rich, white, right? Clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness and sit and salve. You know, He talks about the eyes, to put on your eyes so that you can see. He wants us to see. And how He does that is He says, I counsel you to buy gold refined in the fire. Okay? There's a nature of Christ. When you get closer to Christ, man, something's going on. Something's happening, and there's something that's drawing out of here where He's saying, this is who I am, and this is not who you really are. So there's two things that are meeting. It's the fire of God. And when that starts stirring on the side of us, I notice when the Spirit of God happens in the church, there are thoughts that pop into your mind, right? Like, what you're going to do tomorrow? Man, I got to go to work tomorrow. It's 10 below. There are things that try to get you distracted immediately. Right? Or there are things that, you know what, because this week was like this, I can't really come into worship right now because I got to deal with this situation. You know what I'm saying? I can't, as Jamie opened up, I can't come boldly to the throne room of grace because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There are things that go on, and He wants to refine that out of us. So He puts us in situations where, He puts us in the middle of a situation where everything, like Jamie was saying, just, you don't feel like it. You don't feel like any of it. And it's in those places God wants to invade. Oh, I feel so spiritual. Oh, I feel so... No, you don't. You don't feel like any of that. Yet God wants to invade that area in your life. He wants to kick out all of that negative thinking. He wants to kick out all that stuff in that situation. And He wants to come invade and says, you can love well in this situation because I exist in you. Because me and you are partners and my love sustains you. My peace carries you. In all situations, it doesn't say some situations, it says in all situations pray. In the God of peace, right? Come on, we'll guard your heart. So in those tough times, in those trials, He says, I counsel you to buy gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. Come on. And what's refining? You guys know how they refine gold? I've talked about this before, but the process is a lot of heat. Come on. Process is a lot of heat and a lot of moving going on. And I want to, just because something's moving doesn't mean something's wrong. Just because there's tension, that means we need to be moving. When I move my arms and my biceps, what? Boosh. Sorry, Dane. Right? Is that wrong? Come on. Is that wrong? When there's tension to my, that's not wrong. When we begin to move in the Spirit and the apostolic prophetic starts to speak, that means God's wanting us to move somewhere. And there's some people that just don't want to move, right? They want to take care of everything. And then there's some people say, let's go. So there's tension between those two, but that's okay because something's moving. And we need to recognize that when things start happening. The prophetic moves, hey, we're going to move somewhere, guys. And some people are saying, well, what about so-and-so? They're not healed yet. Yeah, that's right. We got to think, there's two camps. And there's almost a conflict, but there is no conflict. It's part of the body, right? The body doesn't always want to work, Frank, but you know it's good to work, and it's good to move. So apostolically, God is wanting to move us in a place of discovering fullness of grace, right? He says, I'm counseling you. Listen, that is not you. What you did before is not going to be what's going to be next, okay? 5 minutes of prayer. You know what? Starting 5 minutes of prayer with your kids, I love to tell you I pray with my kids every day. And I get on and I hit every note, right? But I tell you, it is so amazing how fast the day goes. And the kids have their stickers, because there was little stickers there on the board. Say, Dad, did we pray today? No, we didn't pray. We didn't take the 5 minutes. It's amazing what you do. Start with 5 minutes. Come on. No, it was you, Sandy. You shared that. That was Sandy. You prioritize. Watch what happens. What's happening? How many here have been praying with their kids? With the assignment. How is that working?
Isn't that something awesome? I went up to Toby. I said, we're going to pray. He said, well, what's wrong? Does something have to be wrong to pray? You know, sometimes that's bad. It's like, no, wait a minute. You could pray all the time. And it's just not because something wrong. So I come up to him and he's like, well, what? He kind of got weird. He was like, what are you doing, Dad? I was like trying to reach out for him. He's like, no, we're going to pray. Oh, okay. Right? Graham Cook says it this way, and before I close, which means I got another 15 minutes. Graham Cook is a tremendous prophet, right, Sandy? Anybody knows Graham Cook? He's just an amazing man. But he lives every day with a bone, I think it's a bone disease of some sort, where he's constantly throbbing in pain, okay? And the only way that he's not in pain is when he's in the spirit just praying constantly. He says, you know what? It's like a fast track to always walk it in the spirit. He says, I have no other choice. He says, Lord, two things. He says, don't get me wrong. I believe in healing. And you see healing. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. But if I don't get my healing today, Lord, you need to carry me here. And you need to sustain me in your spirit. And he says, there's more revelation because that's the place he always has to be, right? He always has to be, we'll call it our A game. But he knows he always has to be on the A game. And it's so important to be in prayer. And so God brings us to a situation where our situations happen where we have to have our A game. It's A game time now. When he says, look your eyes up to heaven, it's A game time now. So the refining comes is that I have an A game. Where'd Jack go? Because he was about to see my A game. What is he intimidated? But I was going to say, I said, when I play Jack, I bring my A game. And he hasn't won yet, but he has actually. But he gets him riled up. You bring your A game, but you can always walk in your A game. And the distractions try to take you out of your A game, Deb. Deb, you got an amazing A game. Deb, you have a fantastic A game. And the things that try to distract you try to bring you off your game. There are situations in families and things like that where such and such said this. And immediately, you feel like you lose your peace, right? And you go, boom, and then there goes your A game. You're done, right? I can't believe they said that. And it wasn't maybe even true, but it's things that you hear, and it hits you in your heart. And the Lord says, you know that place that keeps hitting you? I want to take that place over now. I don't want you to invest and listen to so much of the distractions. I want you to invest in my kingdom and get my kingdom perspective on that person. And what I found the most is in my enemies, and David had this perspective, is what I found the most is when I really got the heart of God, I began to weep for people who were mean to me because he started to show me their struggles. He started to show me really where they were at. He started to show me their fears. And that's when David was able to pray for those that betrayed him. He got on his knees and he wept. And he put sackcloth on him. He said, I wept and I prayed for you. Why? Because he had heaven's perspective towards that person. And he was genuinely able to release the kingdom on earth because he saw that. He saw perspective. The Lord's bringing you to a place in the middle of a place where you probably feel like the farthest away from the Lord. He says, in that place, you will be the closest to me because you're going to be relying on heaven's perspective. You'll be relying on the power that comes from heaven, not from anything that's around you. You need to know how big I am in these situations. Amen. And it's all about perspective. I want to tell you a story. There was this lady who come up to the door and she found her dog had a rabbit in her mouth. In the dog's mouth. And it was the neighbor's rabbit, and it was dead. And immediately she began to panic. She says, the neighbors love this rabbit. She says, I can't, you know, address this. So she took the rabbit in. She cleaned the rabbit up, washed it up, right? Got it all fluffy, and she propped the rabbit back in the neighbor's cage in their yard, and she went back, and she stood by the fence. And as the neighbor came home, she looked in the backyard, she opened the door, and she screamed, she says, oh, Harold, that rabbit that we buried in the backyard last week's alive in the cage. Perspective. Didn't see the full picture there, did you? Can you imagine all the trauma we put ourselves through because we didn't take the time to see the full picture or pray and just allow God to trust him in his bigness and his goodness? We tried to take something that was dead, try to clean it up. It was gone, and it was okay, right? You don't need to fluff it up and clean it, Danny. You just let it go, okay? Let it go. Let it go. Something spiritual happening right now. Shh. Right? But isn't that the truth? Is God mad at you? Is he? His love is so, so good. How bad did you screw up? Oh, man, I screwed up so bad. How many people? I've hurt people. But the love of God covers all of that. I believe this with all my heart. When Jim came in and Jenny and I were in the hospital, and she had some pregnancy complications, and Jim shared a scripture. He said he could use all things to the good for those that love him. And I know that now. Say, I know that. I didn't know it then. When Jim shared that with me, I said, okay, but I don't feel so good right now. You know, I didn't. Honestly, I didn't, because I was in the middle of it. But in the middle of my storm, in the middle of my mess, through all that we went through, he carried me and he showed me heaven's perspective on that situation. Come on! And then you know. You know that you know that you know. And it's a beautiful thing. Let's stand up this morning. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jamie. God, I thank you for everyone in this house, Lord, and as the apostolic words and the things that we're saying, Lord Jesus, that they're not above and beyond us, Lord Jesus, but they're wanting to create rivers of living water inside every single one of us. And right now, that situation, come on, where you have been distraction, there are things going on that the enemy has tried to distract you because he does not want you to come to the fullness and the realization of who you really are and who he really is. And there's a season and a prepping and a refining that God's just, he says, all right, that's not you anymore. You know that rabbit? It's gone. It's buried. It's not as any part of you anymore. And every time something came up, this continual thing kept nagging on your heart. And the Lord says, I am taking. He says, the God of peace will guard your heart. Say, the God of peace will guard your heart. The God of peace, guard my heart. Come on, the God of peace, guard my heart. You've been through some things. You've been hurt legitimately by people. In churches and situations, and the God of peace, come on. You give everything to him. My life is a living sacrifice. I counsel you to buy. How do you buy? A surrendered life. Say, Lord, you take my life. You're the king. You're the king of my heart. You're the king of my heart, Lord. You take it. You take the pain. You take the shame. You took it to the cross, Lord. You gave me a new heart. You restored unto me, Lord. Father, we lift this up to you, Father. Lord, in this season of time, let that which distracted us distract no more. Let it be identified. Let every tactic of the enemy, that it's really the devil trying to distract. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but there are principalities. Let them be revealed in Jesus' name. And let the people of God, let the Spirit of God arise inside of us. And let it shine, Father. Let what caused stumbling cause us to stumble no more, Father. Let there be a turn of the page. And let this chapter mean the rising of the saints. Let it be the voice of the Lord, where God's people in one voice shouted out your name. Glory to God in the highest. Come on. We thank you, Father God, for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. You said, I come to heal the broken. I thank you, Lord, for healings that are happening right now, where it was father and son relationships, whether it's mother and daughter, where it's husbands and wives. God, where it's people and dynamics. Lord Jesus, you're bringing a turning of the page and complete restoration, and it is a refining and a knowing that our kingdom perspective lives in our hearts, and it rules and reigns. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Amen. I'm glad I showed up to church this cold morning. You guys be blessed. Is there anything else? Thursday night's game night here at the church at 6:30. So I'm not sure what game we're playing, but we've been gathering at. So Thursday night, 6:30. Anything else? Basketball. All right. Bless you guys. Hallelujah.